The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Here's the feast of yet another martyr here in the octave of Christmas. It's the feast day of St. Thomas Becket. St. Thomas Becket, Archbishop of Canterbury from the years 1162 to 1170. An unimaginably long time ago. England was a very, very different place back then. Hardly 100 years had elapsed since the days of the Norman conquest of William the Conqueror. There wasn't even yet such a thing as Magna Carta. It hadn't been written yet. Very, very different place. And yet, in so many ways, a world very similar to our own. So what I'd like to do for you here today, if you'll forgive me and allow me, I'd like to tell you the story of St. Thomas Becket. The story starts in the middle of the 12th century, give or take the year 1150. And at this time, the king of all England is Henry II. And the Archbishop of Canterbury is a man named Theobald. And King Henry and Archbishop Theobald, they have a very, very tense relationship one with the other, because at this time in history, there are two legal systems in England, side by side. One is answerable to the king. The other is answerable to the church. They had their own legal system with their own courts, with their own judges, with their own legal decrees, and King Henry hates this arrangement, just detests it, because he wants control of the law in all the land, but his great dilemma is how to achieve this without upsetting the people too much. Well, long about the year 1150, give or take, Archbishop Theobald hires a brand new apprentice, a young man named Thomas Becket. Thomas Becket, a young man with a sharp mind, quick wit, touch of good looks. Here's a young man going places. And Archbishop Theobald is so impressed with young Thomas that he even takes him to be introduced to the king, King Henry II. And Henry is so impressed with young Thomas Becket that he offers him the chance to apprentice in his own court, right there in the royal palace in the city of London. And this begins one of the most natural and effortless friendships in all that time. It was the friendship between King Henry II and young Thomas Becket. Two naturally kindred souls had the same interests. They were both vivacious, both high-spirited. They loved sports, they loved wine, women, and song. They got along famously, and everybody all up and down the realm knew. But young Thomas Becket was a man whose star was on the rise, and rise it did. It wasn't long before King Henry named Thomas to be Chancellor of all England, second-ranking post in the whole country, and the job of the Chancellor of England was to enforce the law and to collect the tax revenues. And Thomas Becket showed himself to be fiercely loyal to his friend King Henry. He enforced the law right down to the letter, and he collected tax revenues both from clergy and from laity alike, and Henry couldn't be happier, that is, if only he could find a way to gain control of the church. When suddenly, one spring day in the year 1162, old Archbishop Theobald, Archbishop of Canterbury, breathed his last. And King Henry was now tasked with the duty of appointing a new Archbishop of Canterbury. But as he looked up and down the countryside, he found bishop after bishop after bishop who was fiercely loyal to the church, and Henry wondered to himself, who can I possibly make to be the next Archbishop of Canterbury? And then Henry got an idea, a devilishly clever idea. And he said to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll make my friend Thomas Becket Archbishop of Canterbury. Then I'll rule both the church and the government. And Henry went to Thomas Becket and he said, Thomas, do I have an idea for you? I'm going to name you the next Archbishop of Canterbury. Thomas's face fell. And he begged his friend King Henry not to place upon his shoulders the burden of the episcopacy. But Henry insisted. Thomas countered. He says, I can't be the Bishop of Canterbury. Look, I'm not even a priest. See, I'm not even qualified. And Henry said, don't let that stop you. We'll just go to His Holiness the Pope and we'll ask for a special dispensation and we can get you ordained up in no time. And Thomas Becket, out of great loyalty to his friend King Henry, he reluctantly agreed. And there in the Cathedral of Canterbury, and one June afternoon in the year 1162, Thomas Becket was ordained a priest and a bishop and consecrated Archbishop of Canterbury, and King Henry squealed with glee because at long last he had his wish. He was head both of the government and of the church. He ruled both God and man, or so it seemed. Because from that day forward, something happened. Something happened deep in the heart of Thomas Becket. He began to change. And he put aside his wine goblet and his English roast beef, and he began to fast on bread and water. And he hung up his fine royal robes with their gilding and their rich damask. And he put on a hair shirt. And he began to pray. And his entire life changed from that moment forward. And all up and down the countryside, people were shocked to discover that whenever the interests of the church were pitted against the interests of the crown, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Becket, the former friend of great King Henry II, sided resolutely with the church. And King Henry was none too pleased. One day in 1163, a man was accused of murder and set for trial before the King's Court of Justice when he appealed to have his court case heard by the church. And the case was heard, and the man was found innocent and set free. Henry was furious, called Thomas Becket into his presence, and demanded that he recant this injustice and that he hand the man back over to the control of the government. But Thomas Becket stood his ground, toe-to-toe with King Henry himself, Bishop of London and the Bishop of Salisbury, sided with the king, and Thomas Becket had the two bishops excommunicated for opposing the church, and this was the last straw for King Henry. Late one December night, whether drunk or sober, no one quite knows, Henry cried out at the top of his voice, "Is my country governed by cowards Do I not have one loyal subject to all the realm? Who will rid me of this meddlesome priest? And whether intended or not, the words were taken as a death sentence against Thomas Becket. And on the night of December 29th, as he ascended the steps to celebrate Mass at the altar, Thomas Becket was attacked as a knight dispatched from the king's service struck him with a sword with a mortal blow to the neck. Thomas Becket, murdered in his own cathedral. Word of Thomas Becket's sanctity spread far and wide, and he was canonized a saint in no less than 3 years. And all across the continent of Europe, people streamed to Canterbury in pilgrimage to pray at the site of the great martyr of England. And even Henry II came to repent of his ways, did hard penance, wore a hair shirt, and walked in sackcloth and ashes barefoot to the Cathedral of Canterbury to pray at the site of his great friend, the saint, Thomas Becket, a martyr for the faith. The relics of Thomas Becket were honored in Canterbury Cathedral for nearly 400 years until they were destroyed by another King Henry, Henry VIII, which just goes to show that history may not repeat itself, but it sure as heck does rhyme. A few lessons that we take away from the story of St. Thomas Becket. One is the power that's latent in a character sacrament. You know what a character sacrament is? There are three character sacraments: baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. Three sacraments, you can receive them only once. They make a mark on your soul. You can tell in heaven who's received these sacraments. There's latent power in these sacraments. Thomas Becket discovered it with the sacrament of holy orders, but you've got baptism, you've got confirmation, latent power that's waiting only for your cooperation. What changes lay in store for you if you cooperate with your sacrament like Thomas Becket cooperated with his? That's one lesson. Here's another. The life of Thomas Becket is an insight as to what life is like for a man or a woman, in that case, of integrity. Because when Thomas Becket stood against the king, Thomas Becket stood alone. No one took his side when he went up against the power. And yet, after Thomas Becket died, everyone hailed him as a saint, and he was instantly popular both in England and all across the continent of Europe. You know what that tells us? That tells us that many, many people secretly supported Thomas Becket all along, but they didn't have the courage to speak out and act like Thomas did. This is an insight into the life of someone who lives a life of integrity. First, you will stand alone. Don't be surprised when no one comes to your side with your unpopular stands, but don't let that discourage you. Hundreds, even thousands of people secretly support you and are cheering you on and are praying for you, even if they themselves don't have the courage to speak as you speak or to act as you act. And a third little lesson from the life of St. Thomas: the importance of putting Christ first. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." And he just could as have easily said, "Anyone who loves friend or government or political party more than me is not worthy of me." God demands to be treated as God, to be placed first. And this is what scandalizes people. When you, in fact, put God first, right? People are scandalized. But this is what the worship of God means. A few little examples now and lessons from the inspiring life of Thomas Becket. Let's ask for his prayers now. We might believe as he believed, so we might do as he did. St. Thomas Becket, pray for us.